He's already blessed us with a special blessing from the choir, and I feel that he has more for us. Way of announcements, there'll be evening service at 6 o'clock in Noawana, and Wednesday night will be business meeting. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the love and mercy and grace that you give us, and most of all your Son Jesus, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for that first resurrection day. We thank you for each one that's came out, and we pray that your blessings will be with them and their families. We pray that your blessings be at this service, be with the choir as they sing praises to you, and our pastor as he brings your message. And Father, most of all, pray that if there's anyone here that doesn't know your Son Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would convict them, and today would be their resurrection day. In his sweet and precious name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning again, church. It's been a great morning so far, and we're going to welcome the Holy Spirit to come in here. We're going to sing a song. So let's all turn our hymnals to page 149, Blessed Redeemer. Let's all stand and sing.
Of Calvary's mountain, one red morning, Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners, death on a cross, that he might save them from endless night. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see
kindly winging it. this morning. If you would, this morning, are we singing any more? Austin can't be found, but he is alive. He is forevermore will be alive. And because of him, we too can be made eternally alive as well. Am I on clicking now? All right, good deal. If you're watching by Facebook this morning or you're listening by the radio, as you're turning to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and then we'll also be in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Again, whether you're here in person, you hear all the coughing and the sneezing, that's what's been at my house for the past few days. If you're here in person, if you're watching by Facebook, or if you're listening by the radio, I'm so thankful that you have made the effort to be with us. And I know that you could be anywhere else. Probably have been invited somewhere else. But for some reason, God has you here today. And I pray that you've come expecting to receive a blessing. But also, this is the day that the Lord has made. And this is the time that we have gathered to celebrate Him. Man, those turning of pages sounds good this morning. Hearing those pages turn. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and then also Colossians chapter 2. If you don't remember anything else about the day, I do pray that you remember this one thing, that nobody loves you like Jesus, nobody's done so much for you as Jesus, and if you'll let Him today, He wants to do more for you than you ever could imagine. It just simply, if you'll surrender to Him. Do we have any words of praise or testimony as you're turning to Colossians 2 and 1 Corinthians 15? Something this week that the Lord has done for you. Praise God, I just want to say thank you, God, that I'm still saved. I'm still saved. He still has me. It's not because of anything I've done this week. It's not because of the efforts I've made. But it's because of the work that He accomplished through the death, burial, and resurrection. And if I had a title for this morning's message, it would be this. And if you were at the sunrise service this morning, the sunrise celebration, then you kindly heard the theme or the motto, the thotto for today, which is, because of His resurrection, I am. Because of His resurrection. Basically, it's this. I'd say that 99.9% of the people in this room right now says that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. They could say that there's a time that I've went and prayed a prayer, I've did this, but here's what it boils down to. As we've studied in the past few weeks, have we tried to prepare for this day of celebration? And let me add that this day of celebration, this Resurrection Sunday, we don't just celebrate here. We're to celebrate wherever we are. We're to make much, because here's the thing. The outside world don't want to hear about His resurrection. Those that's going into courthouses and trying to say, I define who I am, not the Creator. They don't want to hear about Jesus. But here's the thing. It's a national holiday. It is a national holy day. And we get to declare it wherever, whenever, as loud as we can, at least this one day. Amen? So shout it from the mountaintop. Sing it with a joyful heart. Let your emotions be involved. You know that? We talked about that this morning as we get ready to look at because of His resurrection. Jesus tells us that we're made in His image, correct? And have you ever thought and recognized that Jesus was an emotional person? It said that he looked out over the people and He had compassion. Then it says that He looked out as He climbed up and looked out over Jerusalem, and as a mother hen, He longed to gather His people. It says that He stood at the grave of a friend, and knowing He was fixing to bring him back up out of the grave, the shortest verse in the Bible, and Jesus wept. And there's other places. Now, He wasn't controlled by His emotions, but neither was He ashamed of His emotions. And think about what we are passionate about today, what we get caught up in our feels about. Sports. And I love it. I mean, I have to turn the TV off because they make me mad. And then I'll shout loud and punch the wall because they make me happy. I mean, I just let my emotions come out. Politics, oh Lord. I just let it run all over me with that stuff. You know what I mean? But yet, when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to the things of Christ, that he loved me enough to robe himself in flesh, that he was willing to live a sinless life, that he became sin, he who knew no sin, so that I might become the righteousness of God, that he took the whips, he took the shame, he took the licks for me. And then he willingly went to the grave. He said, no man takes my life. I lay it down. Who do you lay it down for? For me. And then he got up on the third day for me. And he said, I'm going to build a place where my Father is so that I can come back and get you and live with myself. You can live with me forever. And yet, we think it's undignified to show emotion about someone that loves us that much. Oh, man. We've got to let go of our preconceived notions. We've got to let go of things that we use as maybe we say that they're convictions, but they more likely are what we like, what makes feels good to us. So this morning, I'm not going to ask you to stand because I've got a lot of scripture to read today. But again, ask this question. Because of his resurrection, I am blank. How's it changed you? How's it affect you? Look, are you in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? All right, just remain seated. We'll look at verse 13 through 17. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are also false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ Jesus, whom he raised not up, if so that the dead be not raised. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ risen. And if Christ be not risen, then your faith is in vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then those who also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope only in this life, we are of all people most to be pitied. Now, as you're turning over to Colossians chapter 2, I kind of just want to catch you up with this. And each of these are going to be kindly two separate points to our message. But as you're getting there to Colossians chapter 2, we'll be beginning in verse 12. But Paul is in verse 8 of Colossians chapter 2, as we think about because of his resurrection, I am. Paul gives a warning about falling prey or being trapped by human wisdom, human tradition, and base or lower teachings. He then moves to how that all the content of God, the completeness, the fullness of God is in Christ Jesus. Jesus is God. He is the fullness. He is the authority. He is the power of God wrapped up in human flesh. And because this is true, then whatever is missing in my life, on the day that I accepted Jesus Christ, on the day that I surrendered, Jesus called me, I surrendered, that day whatever was lacking, he filled it up. And at the same time, whatever was too much, he took it out. He did the surgery. Why? How? Because he is the fullness. He is God completely. And as we know this, and he's warning us not to fall prey to false teaching, that we have all that we need in Christ, we are full and complete in him, then look there in Colossians 2, verse 12. You have been, and I'm going to kindly build this up. Are you there? 2:12? You have been buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith and the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened and made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, and he had blotting out the writings of ordinances that was against us, which were contrary to us, and took it out of the way, having nailed it to his cross, then having spoiled the principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. You see what he's saying? The powers that would come against me in life, whether it be accusations, whether it be law, legal writings, And then he says, even the very beings themselves, the men, the women, the spirits, the adversaries that come against you, you know what he did on the cross? He made a show of them. He made them look like a fool when they come against you. And still today, because of the cross, whenever the adversary, whenever the accuser of the brethren or his minions come up, Jesus just reminds them of where he showed them their place on my behalf. Isn't that awesome? So today, as we go to the Lord in prayer, I ask yourself, look at what all the resurrection means. And because of the resurrection, I am. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I do thank you for this day, God. I thank you, Lord, that this is the day you have made. Lord, I thank you that it's the time that's finally arrived, Easter, Lord. As we've looked to it for weeks now, that God, there's going to be eggs hunting. There's going to be good meals to eat. There's going to be brand new clothes that's ruined today. But Lord, in all of it, it all is just bells and whistles to the main attraction. And Lord, it's not just the cross, it's not just the tomb, but it is Jesus. It is you, O Lord, with power over the cross, with power over the tomb, with power over sin. And so God, today, let us be mindful of what you've done in Christ. Let us think about the cross, let us consider the resurrection, and let us see what we are because of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and my failures. I pray you give me the words you'd have me to say, and it's in Jesus' name, amen and amen. As we think about the resurrection, his resurrection, and who I am, this has kindly been the day, but who I am because of the cross. This has been the day that we've been preparing for. I feel like the Lord has been pushing, you know, beginning at least 2 weeks ago and more personally as I've been preparing and studying, because this is the time. And I know that every day we should celebrate the resurrection. Every day we should live as if it's the third day. You know that the power of the risen Christ is evident and effective and just flowing through us. But since 2 weeks ago, March 27th, we were looking at and preparing to celebrate. And you remember, the first thing as we looked at was Christ, the cross, his confession and the calling. You remember? And what we saw was this, that even though at one time in our life, like Peter, when he answered the question just right, who do you say that I am, when Jesus asked it, remember? And Peter, over there in Matthew 16:16, that foot and mouth fella just hit the ball out of the park right then. He said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And oh man, you could just feel the closeness between him and the Lord. But then, even though he answered it so perfectly, just a few more verses later on, we see that Jesus said, as Jesus was taking them to a next level, to another stage in their relationship with him, he said, hey, I'm going to have to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to have to be beat up. Ultimately, I'm going to have to die at the hands of the religious teachers. And then, oh, remember what he did? Peter pulled him off to the side and he said, I ain't going to let that happen. No, I'll rebuke you. This is the Messiah. It blows our mind how that Peter could actually think that he could correct the Messiah. But we do the same thing. One day we can be on fire for the Lord. We can be doing all that we know to do. And then the next day we can be like Peter. And instead of allowing Christ to be Christ and us follow him, we try to manipulate Christ and get him to do it our way. And remember what Peter said? Get behind me, man. You're not thinking like the Lord. You're not thinking like my Father, but you're thinking like Satan. And any time we want to bypass God's will, any time we want to do it the easy way, then we're trying to bypass the cross. We're trying to bypass, because remember, Peter said, hey, no, God forbid, I'm not going to let it happen like that. And then Jesus said, hey, you know what? Not only do I have to carry my cross, but anybody who wants to be right with their Creator, anybody who wants to be close and in fellowship with their Creator, guess what? They've got to take up their cross daily too. They've got to be willing to lay down their life. They've got to be willing to sacrifice, because of the cross. Remember, that's what the cross is all about. Jesus sacrificed his life so that I could have a new life. That's what it means to lay down your life and to take up his cross. It means that I'm willing to let go of Brian's plans. I'm willing to let go of my needs, my wants, and I'll trade them for his. Because you know what? He traded his life for my salvation. And then the next week, if you remember, we looked at the triumphal ending, Palm Sunday. Remember that? And as I got to thinking about it that week, not only is it called Palm Sunday, but it's called the triumphal entrance. And I understand it. I mean, we know that in hindsight that Jesus, while he died on the cross, he rose on the third day, and that's why we're celebrating today. But triumph means a celebration, a victory over an enemy. And if I was just Tom, Dick, or Harry from the world, and I looked at it, and I saying that, yeah, on Sunday he's being worshipped and glorified, but then on Friday they're killing that man. Is that a triumph or is it a tragedy? And it depends. It depends on who you are, because the triumph is there if you will receive it. If you're willing to give him his rightful rule, if you're willing to render his praise and glory, and if you're ready for his righteous judgment. If you've made all that, then praise God, that's your victory riding in on that donkey. But it's your tragedy if you reject him. Because whether he does anything else good for us, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He created us. Who are we to tell the Creator that the creation shouldn't and will not worship him? And so as we think about it today, and we come to this point of the resurrection, I mean, can you imagine today? Can you imagine today if you had been with Mary that morning? It says that early, before daybreak, she went there. And do you think she was whistling a happy tune? Do you think she was asking Mr. Bluebird to be on her shoulder and all that mess that day? No, she was broken. Her Jesus was gone. And remember, it's all happened so fast, right? I mean, one day he's riding in victory. The next day he's dead. And she doesn't even get to mourn with him. She's confused. How did all this happen? And then, I talked about this a bit this morning, but if you've ever lost someone, though it may be morbid to some, you just want to be with their body. Just for a few more minutes. Just for a little while. Because it's comfortable. And you know you won't ever get it again, but she gets there. And that's the best she could hope for, was those few minutes, right? That was as good as it was going to get that day. Oh, but she didn't know that he had a surprise for her. And he's got a gift for whosoever today. That when she got there, she looked and the stone was rolled away. She saw that it was empty and there was clothes laying there. So she turned and she ran back to where the apostles were. And she found Peter and she found John and she said, "Hey boy, he ain't there. Somebody done took him away." And then they started racing to the tomb. Who could get there faster? And the Bible says John was faster. But John was kind of scared and he wouldn't go in the tomb. You know what I mean? He might have been fast, but Peter was a little bit more brave. And so Peter got there and he goes on in there. And he sees that the clothes are scattered except for the face mask and it's folded. But then it says that John went in there and it says he believed. But then they left. And Mary has some conversation with some angels, and then finally Jesus appears. And it says that she grabbed him and he said, "Don't hold on to me, don't cling to me." And I thought that it was about that you had to just let me go, you know, because I got a sin, I can't be dirty. But you know what it was? She didn't want to let him go. She had got her hands back on him. She expected him to be a dead man laying there, and her only hopes was to touch his cold body. But now she is wrapping her arms around one who is alive and who loves her. And you see, that's just the very least that we're celebrating, because we're celebrating the vicious brutality of what he took on my behalf. We're celebrating the vicarious nature of his crucifixion, meaning that he suffered something for me. He was my substitute. We're celebrating how vitally important the resurrection is, and we're celebrating the victory over death, hell, and the grave that Jesus won on my behalf and whosoever. And so, as we're thinking about all this week, and I was looking and praying and reading, there were two reasons as I began to think about the preparation on why did the Lord want us to prepare, or for me to prepare. And one is this, it's because Jesus deserves us to prepare. You see, He deserves for us to be focused on Him. He deserves for us to be favored and to favor Him above all else. He deserves for us to exalt Him. And He says this, if you won't do it, I'll get the rocks to do it. And guess what? Not only is He deserving of it, but in John chapter 4, verse 23, He says that He's looking for people to do it. Right? That's what He said. And guess what? Why should we prepare number two? Because we have the audacity to say that we're the ones He's called. Huh? If you bear the name Christian today, if you profess to be a Christian, then you are publicly saying, I am a chosen one. I am one that God has called out of all the people on this earth to worship Him. To lift Him up. Amen? Say it louder, because you better believe it. You may not like it. You may not have been doing it. You may not want to do it. But that's who you're saying you are. Right? And guess what? He says that if we're going to do it, and we're going to do it right, He says we've got to do it in spirit and in truth. Now, if you know what that means, why hadn't you come told me already, okay? I mean, just let me know, because I want that to happen. But you see, what we've been doing in the past few services, we've been trying to come together in spirit. We've been trying to acknowledge in truth that He is all that we need. And so as we celebrate today, let me ask you this. If we can truly grab hold of all that the resurrection means to us as an individual, don't you think we'll get a little bit happy? Don't you think you'll get a little bit excited? Hey, you get excited about anything else? Right now, you're wanting to be in a hurry. Right now, your mind's going somewhere else. But this is the day. The tomb is empty, hallelujah. And it's empty for me. It's empty for me. So I pray today, we want to look at two things that God has revealed to me this week. That because of the resurrection, I am. You know, we could say this, because of the resurrection, I am saved. If you look over in Romans, I believe it was chapter, what was it this morning we looked at? Chapter 8, verses 9 and 10, I believe it was. It says that if we were made just by His death, then how much more are we made right by His life? Are we saved? That's the word it used. How much more are we saved by His resurrection? What about this? Because of the resurrection, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. You may not think I'm forgiven. Someone else may not, but the Creator says I'm forgiven. And that's all that matters. Because of the resurrection, I have a home. I have an eternal home. But I want you to think about this. Number one today, because of the resurrection, I am just beginning to understand how vital and how valuable His resurrection actually is. You hear that? Because of the resurrection, I am just beginning to realize how vital and how valuable, basically how important the resurrection is. Listen again to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Jesus Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up. But if so, that the dead be not raised. But if the dead rise not, then Christ is not risen. Now let me paraphrase that. Let me put it a little bit today's vernacular. If Jesus did not rise from the dead on the third day, then guess what? He's still dead. It means that there are bones in the ground. There is rot and decay. And it means that Jesus is no more. It means that just like everything else, He was born, He lived, and He died. It means that everything in this book, specifically the New Testament, is a lie. It means that there is no power in His name. And so that when I pray and I see it answered, and when I praise in His name and I feel His presence, it's all just emotion. That's it. And you know what? Some of you may say, well, I'm sorry about it that He's dead, but you know, I really didn't know the guy. But then He says this, not only is Jesus dead, then if He didn't rise on the third day, then guess what? The gospel, the good news about Him, it's a lie. It's vain. It's wasted or empty air. This is what he says. It's not the good news, it's the false news. And the confidence that I've placed in it, the truths that I've built my life upon and you've built your life upon and generations have built their life upon, your family, then guess what? It's a waste. Your family wasted their lives. Your people were dumb. They were ignorant and they deserve it. I mean, this is how important the resurrection is. Because see, there is no eh or maybe. Either he did or he didn't. And if he didn't, let's go to the house. But if he did, I think we can get a little bit happy. But not only that, notice what he says. He says, okay, Jesus is not alive, he's dead. All the good news, every breath, every word that's been spoken about Jesus, about the Messiah, about the promises of God, it's just like chasing the wind or trying to catch the wind. It's useless. And then guess what? Also, but then, if Jesus does not rise from the dead, any way you want to say it, we've been providing inaccurate information. We've been spouting off suspicious speech. We've been delivering a dialect of deceit. In today's terms, we would say that we've been a flinger of false news or a declarer of disinformation. But in good old boy terms, you're just a liar. You've been lying. I've been lying. People like Paul have been lying. And think about it. Paul lied to the extent that Nero cut off his head. Now I'm going to tell you what. If it came down to my life and a lie, I do believe I'd back away from that lie. Don't you? But it also goes on to say, if you read just a little bit verses ahead or behind there in 15, it says that 500 more people are liars too because they said that they saw Jesus alive. But then there's also Simon Peter. Simon Peter, who at one point was willing to lie so he didn't have to be identified as Christ. Oh, but the reality of the resurrection came into his life. And he was crucified upside down over a lie. What about John? John's basically the only one of the original 12 that made it to natural death. But remember what happened to him? He was boiled in oil. I think I'm going to confess. I've been lying the whole time. You don't even have to make it hot oil. And then you remember what they did? They threw him on a prison island. Basically, Georgia. And that, you know, that's Georgia was started as a penal a colony. And I think it was Patmos, if you remember. I think I'd have backed off on that thing and said, well, maybe I tweaked it a little bit. How about Thomas? He was pierced by four spears. Then there's Andrew. And in the land of the man-eaters, Asia Minor, modern Turkey or Greece, what we would call it today, he also was crucified. Some believe that either, I think it was Andrew or Thomas, that he was also filleted. Then there's James the Lesser. This is James that was there as an apostle. He was beaten by club and bashed by stones, or so says Josephus, the Jewish historian. And then there's also this cat, he's not one of the 12, and he wasn't voted in after Judas, but his name is James the Just, the brother of Jesus Christ. He didn't come to believe until after the death, burial, and resurrection, but he became known as the righteous one because he was a teetotaler, man. He was about legality. He was about doing it this way, don't do it that way. That was it. But he was blessed. And he became basically the pastor of the Christian church in Jerusalem. And one day, according to Josephus, the Jewish religious leaders got up, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, they became upset with him because he was messing things up. And so they took James the Just, the brother of Jesus, all the way up to the pinnacle of the temple. And when they got him up there, they began to say something like this, "Now, O righteous man, in whom do you place your great confidence? People are being led astray because of your lies." Jesus, the crucified one. So declare to us this day, who is Jesus? And on the peak of that temple, looking down and having some around him, he said to them, why do you ask me about Jesus? Because he sits in heaven at the right hand of authority. And soon he will return on the clouds of heaven. Then the scribes and the Jewish leaders, they holler back at him and they say, you're wrong, you're in error, you're teaching. Your speech is false, O righteous man. And so you have this back and forth, James the just and the Jewish, and they're picking at James, and James is trying to answer back all honestly, but also in boldness and truth. And then finally, the Jewish leaders have enough, and you can guess it. He's there on the pinnacle, and what do? They throw him off. He hits, but he doesn't die. He's broken, he's beaten. And the Jews, leaders that are down there, you know what they do? Pick up stones. Boom, boom. They start beating him. And then the ones that throwed him down, they've had time to make it down there. And so they start beating on him again. And then finally, one man, a fuller, which is basically a first century laundry cleaner. Have you ever seen someone clean a carpet and they'll take a club and they'll hit that carpet, you know, and the dust will fly out of it? Thank God for the laundry man and his merciful club. And he takes with one lick to the head of James the Just, and it's over. For a lie? For a lie? If Christ be not risen, then all that teaching, all that sacrifice was over a lie. And then, let's go on. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, well then guess what? Let's see there in verse 17. If Christ be not risen, your faith is in vain. You're still in your sins. Look at this. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Your genuine God-loving grandmama and granddaddy that would sit and pray with you and talk to you. Guess what? Wasted life. They're just dead. Then people like Billy Graham, your favorite preacher, the godly parent, your committed Christian friend that was there for you, guess what? They're just dead. And everything meant nothing. All of it meant nothing. And then to wrap it all up, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then guess what? We are. If all we have is a hope for Jesus in this life, that it's going to end. All our faith, all our hope, all the promises, they're going to end when this world ends. Look what it says. It says, we're pitiful. We are to be pitied. So I looked up the word pity. What does it mean to be pitiful? It means that we're inadequate. We don't have enough to satisfy. We're lacking. We're pathetic. And we deserve pity and compassion. I don't know about you, but that's... Do you think we... I mean, just does the Christian world right now really understand how important the resurrection is? He has to be alive. He's got to be alive. Because if he ain't, I have no hope. You have no hope. But guess what? He is alive. I know he's alive. Why? Because I have eyewitness testimony. That's what the Gospels are. They are eyewitness testimony. You read the book of Acts, they are eyewitness testimony. Those are people. That, what we see there, would be admissible in a court because it's first-hand accounts. But also, we have the testimony of others who have experienced him. We have all that. Because of the resurrection, we have it. So as I studied and as I thought about all this, I began to look up and I began to think about the American church. Does the church really understand how vital it is? And so I began to look up some things. I looked up things like Easter, America, the resurrection, and Jesus. You know, stats. How many believe? What percentage? And listen to this. I got to an article by Aaron Earls, wrote in 2022, based on Lifeway's State of Theology survey. And it basically, here's some things that stood out. What it did, it was an online survey of 3,000 people by Ligonier Ministries. It consisted of 43 questions that were done over the cell phone. And basically, this is it. Out of all adults who were asked, do you believe in the resurrection as presented in the Bible? 66 of those surveys said they did. 66%. So maybe that means 66% of America believes in the biblical account of the resurrection. It goes on to say that only less than 23% disagreed, with 11% being unsure. And this is, if you want to look this up, it's I'll give you where it's at in just a few minutes, okay? Then it goes on to ask another question. With adults, however, between the ages of 18 to 34, it goes from 66% to 58% who believe in the biblical resurrection. But still, 58%, hey man. However, only half of those surveyed, 52%, believe that the Bible has the authority to tell them what to do. And even less than that, 51%, says that they believe that the Bible is 100% accurate. And around 3 out of 5, 62%, say that the Bible is the highest standard. Those are some okay numbers, right? I mean, they're okay. But on the other hand, listen, 44% say that modern science disproves the Bible. With 32%, listen, this is sad, 32% believe that God is unconcerned with their day-to-day. Wow. That God doesn't care about my life. I don't know where you're getting that lie from. Probably where you believe that science is more authoritative than Scripture, but Jesus said He loved you enough to die for you. Finally, 66% say that religious belief is a matter of personal opinion and not objective truth. Basically, what they're saying is that there is no absolute truth. Okay? Your truth is your truth. Live out your truth. There's got to be an everybody truth, right? I don't know what color you see the sky as, but it's blue where I'm from. But you hear that? And so as I was thinking about, we don't understand, we don't recognize, because of the resurrection, I'm just now understanding how vital the resurrection is. So I got to thinking, you know, there's some things to be concerned about there, but hey, we're still, and it's the law, it's the world, right? We didn't expect that out of the world, but still, 66% say they believe the resurrection story. We're doing all right. So I kept reading, and then I come to a place, a blog, at faithgateway.com by Fred Beitner, and he was teaching on Corinthians 15 and did a survey from the Barna Group. And the survey concerned America, Easter, and Christianity. And the survey presented this statement: the true meaning of Easter is the resurrection of Jesus Christ that signifies the return and the gift of salvation. Only 48% said that's a true statement. Only 48%. But that pushed me on to some other surveys, Barna surveys. One asked this: what is the most important, vital, or valued holiday that connects with your faith? And only one out of every 50 said Easter. Do you get that? You hear what I'm saying? Out of 50 people, only one person had been enlightened to a point to say that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is of great value to me spiritually, to my eternal life. Now another question, listen to this. The Barna Group, 92% believe in a historical figure named Jesus Christ. When presented with this statement, while on the earth, living, Jesus was human and committed sin like every other people. Do you agree, disagree, or not sure? 52% disagreed. 46% agreed, with 2% being unsure. Here's another. Have you made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ? 6 out of 10 said they had. But then of that many, only 40% had said that they had repented their sins. This is how they believed they were going to get to heaven. Some said that because they obeyed the Ten Commandments, those that said they were Christians, because they obeyed the Ten Commandments, that's how they're going to get to heaven. Then another one said, because I'm a good person, I'm going to get to heaven. And then the last one, one group said that because God loves everybody and He ain't going to send nobody to hell. That's how I'm going to get to heaven. These are the people that say I'm Christian. These are the people that say I'm like Christ. I bear the image of Christ. No, we don't understand the value of the resurrection. And I'm not going to read many more, but I want you to think about this today. I'm going to shorten it up. I'm going to be done. But the next one I was going to read, because of the resurrection, I'm just now beginning to understand the value and importance of the resurrection. And number two is this, because of the resurrection, I am experiencing the power of the resurrection in my life every day. You want me to tell you why that those people that are answering those questions, basically they're saying that when there's only 1 out of 50 of professing Christians that say that the resurrection or the Easter is vital to me, you know what they're saying? I believe the resurrection. I know about the resurrection. But you know what? It doesn't really have that much in my life. What does it say in 2 Timothy? That there's coming a time where there'll be those that have a form of godliness. They'll look like the right thing. They'll sound like the right thing. But they'll deny the power thereof. From such turn away. I'm going to tell you what. What does the Bible say? You believe in God, James, over in the book of James, it says you believe in God, you do well, because the devils believe and they tremble. Just because we believe in a factual statement doesn't mean that that truth has affected our life. So again, I want to ask you this. You read all right there in Colossians chapter 2. What he's saying right there is this is the power of the resurrection. You know what? He said, I've been buried with Him. I was dead, but faith in Christ Jesus has moved in my life, and I've been made alive. Just like the day on the third day when He was made alive out of the grave, I came alive out of the grave. My sins have been forgiven. Let me ask you this. Because of the resurrection, I am. I'm going to go through these real quick. Just listen to them. Because of the resurrection, I'm experiencing the power over condemnation and sin. You know that? You know, I do. But there are days that I know what goes through my mind. And there are days that I know what I've done. And I'll feel that shame and I'll feel that guilt. And I don't want to see you and I don't want to see nobody else. But you know what? The reality of the Holy Spirit lives within inside of me. And I still might feel guilty, but I remember that He's already paid that debt. And He says, as your Creator, I'm not holding that against you no more. Have you ever heard of the Roman certificate of death? Listen, if you look over in thegathering.com, there's a certain custom in ancient Rome where someone who was convicted of a crime and sentenced to prison, they would take the placard called a certificate of death, what you owe. And it says that they would nail it to his door or to his beside his prison, and it would name the years, the months, and the days that he was to be there and why he was having to serve those times. And when the person had served those times, the certificate of death, guess what? It was marked away and paid in full. It would be taken away to the judge. It'd be notarized. Then the individual would keep that certificate of death with him at all times. And if someone came up to accuse him, he'd pop that certificate out and he'd say, my debt's been paid. If a man was guilty of a capital offense, the authorities would take that offense that he had committed and they'd place it on a placard and they'd take it to the cross and they would put it above his head. If you remember in Matthew chapter 27, verse 37, what did it say? King of the Jews. You see, he hadn't really broken the law. He didn't know that debt. Everything that he did right there was for me. And because he was willing to take that debt, and because he's willing to go into, then I have the power. Because of the resurrection, I'm experiencing the power over sin and condemnation. I experience the power over the law. I break the law of God every day. through thoughts and all that. But you know what? He's got victory over it. That power is real in my life. What about the law of the charms of this world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those things right there. His power overrides that in my life. What about the power over my corrupt flesh? I ain't perfect. And I need to do a whole lot better. But praise God, I can do better tomorrow than I did today. Why? Because of the power of His resurrection in my life. And then there is the power over Satan and my adversaries. Hallelujah. The Bible tells me that they, Romans chapter 12, I believe it's verse 11, and they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. As our piano player and our song director comes, you've been given a gift, a piece of paper today. And on that paper, basically what it is just one drop of blood. And I've asked you today about, because of the resurrection, I am. I have. Now, today is your day to celebrate. You could take that card right there that you've got and you could say, I am saved. And you could bring it and put it on the cross, or you could stick it into your Bible. Or maybe today, you're on the place where you say, because of the resurrection, I ask for. Because I believe today that You, Lord Jesus, You rose from the grave, I ask You to forgive me of my sins and to save me. You know what He says? I'll do it. Maybe today it's not about salvation. Maybe you've been saved. Maybe it's not about the forgiveness of sin. Maybe today it's about the power being real in your life. Because see, the resurrection has an effect. And I ask you, because of the resurrection, where in your life right now do you need the power of the resurrection? Huh? Are you depressed? Has this world and this situation robbing you of your joy, of your hope? Will you just, with that one drop, it's more than enough to forgive and to uplift. Would you just be willing to write down, I need Your power to give me hope. Maybe today your marriage is in a place and it looks like it's going to fall apart. Will you just write right there? I need Your power of the resurrection in my marriage. How about this? Do you get excited about everything else but Jesus? Is your relationship with your Savior the one place that you have to push yourself, or that somebody else has to push yourself? Would you just say, dear Lord Jesus, I need the power of Your resurrection and my love for You. Whatever it is. But I'm going to be up here willing. I want to pray with you. We got the pens. And you don't have to write your name on it. You just write what your need is. Or maybe you put it in. But right now, again, I'm not even going to ask you to stand. I'm not trying to manipulate or anything like that. But if you believe in the power of the blood, and if you believe in the power of the resurrection, and there's a place in your life where you need it, why not come and nail it to His cross? Why not come and give it to Him? Because that's what He asked for, right? He says, come unto Me, all you that are heavy laden and burdened, and bring it to Me, and I'll give you rest. If we act on His words, isn't that part of celebrating what He's done? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank You for this day, Lord. And I'm thankful that You are You. I'm thankful, Lord, that I don't understand all that You do. I'm thankful, Heavenly Father, Lord, that I can't see and calculate it all. But God, I do know that You're powerful. I know that You're able. I know that I'm not perfect, but Lord, I know that You are more than what I need. And today, everyone that's here today and somehow, some way are declaring they believe in Jesus somehow. And Lord, the Bible says by faith, by simple act of reaching out when we just can't see it, we can't know it, we don't feel it, but by faith we are saved. By faith You act in our lives. By faith You lift us up. So Lord, right now, as we are reminded of Your resurrection, today let us build our testimony of the power of the resurrection and who we are because of it. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. won't you come today? We have your nail to put it up there. What are we singing, brother? Power in the blood. All righty. Thank y'all for coming. Anyone? There's wonderful power in the blood. If you want to stand, stand. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. You do service and pray. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. And whatever it is that you've put up here, I make you a promise that we'll pray over it. We'll lift you up and we'll lift that need up. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. I want you to think about something. Those people, they said that they believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in the resurrection like the Bible presents it. You know, there's many of them that believe that they're saved. They believe that they're going to heaven. They believe that they've got the get out of hell free card. You know, because what's happened there is that the gospel in most churches is no longer about the greatness of Jesus and the work that He's done, but it's about a you gospel. If you'll come to Jesus, you'll get this. If you'll come to Jesus, your life will be better. If you'll come to Jesus, you. You see, what we've done is we've taken a Christ who is God. Not, He just doesn't look like God. He is God in the flesh. But we've characterized Him more like a Santa. You get what I'm saying? We've made Him into a genie in a bottle instead of the broken and bruised God. And here's what my concern is. You know, Paul Harvey has a poem about if I were the devil. And he goes through this and he goes through that and he basically lays out the society we live in. How that nothing's wrong. You know, there is no sin anymore. Your truth is your truth. Who am I to tell you different? You know. Basically, he ends up by saying this. If I were the devil, I'd keep doing exactly what I'm doing. I want to ask you this today. Based on what authority are you going to heaven? Whose authority? You say the authority of Jesus? Well, He says, keep my commandments. So you'll take one authority and not the other. There has to be a standard. And I'm just asking you right now. You ain't got to have my standard. Mine might be wrong. But has Jesus and His resurrection changed your destiny? Has it changed your life? Or is Jesus simply a tag on that when everything's said and done, it's going to get you out of hell? See, I would be wrong if I didn't do that today. Because see, there's only two options, heaven or hell. And today I want you to know that you're going to heaven. Because He died so you could know that. And if you're going to heaven, get excited. Don't worry about what people think. Tell them about your Jesus. Tell them how much He loves you. Tell them that whosoever, that means them too. He loves them as much as He loves you. Isn't that awesome today? Any words of testimony or prayer needs today before we close out? do continue to pray for Amy as she's under the weather a little bit. And I know that we've got some others that are under the weather. Brother Kay, what was the boy name that failed, that wrecked? The guy on the ATV, what's his name that got busted up? The 16-year-old that got busted up on the four-wheeler.
Austin Cheek.
Major broken up on the inside. Major issues. Any other prayer needs this morning? All right, Brother Keith, would you close us out in a word of prayer? We will be having service tonight at 6 o'clock if you can come. Brother Keith. I cut out 20 minutes. Good to see you. How's life going? You liking your job?
I like parts of it.
Well,
it pays the bills, it keeps me busy. So.
Can you get to where you're going to like it? Do you see a path to getting there?
Yeah.
It sucks being low, man. Yeah.